Get ready for a parenting adventure. Welcome to Little Adventures Parenting and Beyond, the podcast that explores all things family. From child development to mental health, we've got you covered. Join us for a fun and informative discussion with expert guests and real-life parents. Let's go on an adventure. All right, guys. Hi. Thank you for tuning in. Today, I have Kelly here, and she is going to talk about a mom's worst nightmare. All right, Kelly, thank you so much for being on with us. So let's talk about what happened to your son when he was two.
Yeah, it was 2 months before he turned three. So he was a little closer to three than two. But we were just at home and having a quiet evening. And we had just finished up at one of his little friend's birthday parties. So he was all wound up, super hyper, wasn't ready for bed. So my husband took him out in the backyard with our dog to burn some energy, run around, be a little crazy. And in the midst of that, my dog turned around and attacked him.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he went straight for his head. It was the right side of his head, right above his ear and the tip top of his ear. And it scalped him. It took his entire skin and hair follicles completely off.
Oh my gosh, that's terrifying, Kelly.
It was really terrifying. I was standing in the kitchen and I could see the whole thing through the slider. And I heard my husband yell for me in the most terrifying tone of voice I've ever heard. And so I ran out there and I didn't even see the dog. I had tunnel vision for my child. And I grabbed Barrett, took him in the house. I grabbed my car keys and we went to go get in the car because I was going to just drive him to ER. I thought for sure it was just going to be a couple stitches. Right. I didn't really see the gravity of what was happening. And as I was putting him in his car seat, I saw his head and I said nope, and I yelled to my husband and I said call the ambulance. I'm not risking a drive there for anything to happen. So my husband called the ambulance. I sat on the porch with a towel pressed to his head and trying to just talk to him and make sure he was staying with us because I did not know what was going on. And he was fine. He had actually calmed down before the ambulance got there. They were there in under 5 minutes, thankfully. And they wrapped him up and they took him. And my husband went with him because we had my 7-month-old daughter in the house. And so my husband went with him to the hospital. I grabbed my daughter. We got in the car and we drove to meet them at the hospital. And when I got to the hospital, my husband was like, hey, it's bad. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean? And he said, they have to fly him to Salt Lake City to see the neurologist. My heart sank. And so I was trying to collect myself. The cop was calming me down because there was an officer that has to come up he has to report to scenes like that. And he actually had, when his daughter was three, their family dog attacked.
Oh, wow.
So he had a very invested interest in what was going on. So he stayed with us. He actually exchanged phone numbers with my husband and checked in on us all the time and continues to this day. He's the best officer I've ever met. But he actually pulled me aside and kind of calmed me down and told me what was going on. And the first scan, they did the first CT scan there in, we were in Idaho at the time, so it was the Boise Hospital. And the first scan came up clear, but there were two little punctures that they weren't sure had penetrated his brain or not, like teeth marks. So they wanted to fly him to Salt Lake to see one of the top neurosurgeons in the nation for pediatrics. So they did. It took about an hour to get the plane ready. It wasn't an helicopter because it wasn't life-threatening.
Okay.
So they did an airplane. And my husband got to go with it. It was my husband, my child, a doctor and a nurse, and they all fly with the pilot. And so then I rushed back home, packed a couple bags for me, my husband, and my kids, and me and my daughter got on the road, which was about five and a half hours to Salt Lake. And We got there by morning. My son had finished his first surgery, which was just a deep clean out and some stitches where they could stitch from like teeth marks that grinded on his scalp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was awful. And then right before I got there, my husband called me and said that the neurosurgeon CT scanned him again and took a deep look in while they were doing the surgery and the deep clean and said that his brain was perfectly fine, which thank God, because that was the big question. And then we just kind of hung out for a whole nother day until he got to go to surgery number two, which was a artificial skin patch to bring the scalp level on so that it matched on both sides. So there wasn't like an indention where he was missing a whole piece. And then kind of hung out another day. And then we were released. So we had three nights. And we got released in the morning. So it was about 3 nights, 3 days. And we got to go home. And then it was just a keep the bandage on till we could see them. We went back. At this point, I don't even remember if it was a week or 2 weeks after this artificial patch that we had to drive back to Salt Lake. And they took the bandage off and made sure everything was healing as it should at that point, which it was, thankfully. And then we were sent home for it to heal for about a month before we could do the skin graft. And during that month, we were told to let it get a lot of air, which was quite a challenge with a very active 2.5-year-old.
Right.
And being in public and getting all the looks and the questions. And if he didn't have the patch or the big, it was a huge head wrap that almost looked like a helmet, but it was soft, like that medical bandage material.
Okay.
So between that or the wound, it was just looks and questions and trying to keep him down and low activity. And it was a challenge, but we got through it. And he was internally healthy, which we were grateful for. So we were open to whatever we had to do because he was essentially okay.
Right.
And then we went back in, it was late September. So this happened in early August of just 2022. So wow. Then late September, yeah, it's only been 9 months. So then late September, we got to go to Boise for the skin graft. We didn't have to go back to Salt Lake anymore because we didn't have to see the neurosurgeon. So we went to just a pediatric cosmetic surgeon in Boise, and he did the skin graft. The skin graft, I was dreading it, and it was so easy. It was a 25-minute surgery. Everything went so smooth. It was good. Granted, everything that had to go on, him being under and all these bandages and an extra wound now because you have the donor skin part on his thigh. But overall, it went really good. And
wow, so they were able to use a piece from his thigh too.
And yes, it worked. They took the donor skin from his upper thigh, like right on the side.
Okay.
And they put that right over and everything went really well. He had two sets of staples in his scalp holding on the skin graft and then holding the patch onto his head. The bandage patch. So then after the skin graft, the part on his thigh healed really fast and really, really good. It stopped draining or bleeding that day, which was nice. And right now it's just like a square that's maybe like 2 inches by 2 inches. And only half of it's red anymore. The other half has already turned flesh color. So it's that part looks really good.
Wow.
So then we went back in 2 weeks and took the first set of staples out and the patch bandage, which was this big, like, puffy bolster. And then 2 weeks after that, we went back and took out the staples that held his skin graft on. And the skin graft took, and everything's really good. So we haven't done anything past there. He has one little spot that isn't quite healed. It's like a little dime-sized piece that's still kind of scabbed. But they said it's normal, and it can take years for that to fully heal. And after that, we can choose, or he can choose, if he wants to go through with stretching his hair, like the skin around that spot where hair grows, if they want to stretch that and pull it over to have hair grow again and essentially look like nothing happened.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he's three. And
he
says he's okay with it. I know he's only three, but he's also really smart and really mature. And he says he has no problem with his spot. He's like, I don't care. So we're in no rush to fix the hair growth there, but we're open to it if he is at a later date. We're just letting him tell us what he wants.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing, though, that, like, he's okay and that, you know, even with all of this, like, you had random people that came in during this time that were able to support you, like, you know, like the police officer who had a connection to you. You know, like, it's so odd that that would be what would happen, you know, like, you don't expect somebody to know exactly what you're going through in such a terrifying moment in your life. So I think that's pretty amazing that you had that connection.
I agree. I think it's hard to say that everything happens for a reason or like divine timing because of such a terrible situation, but that's exactly what it is. And that officer was, he was an angel that was sent to really, I think, calm my husband down. And help us relate to somebody, which was really nice.
Right.
So I know it's like so scary to hear that story and to think like this is something that could happen to anybody. This can happen at any point in time with anyone's family pet. And
see, and that's the thing which I didn't touch on. We had the dog for 10 years since he was a puppy. He was our first baby. He welcomed both our children with nothing but love and protection and playfulness. And he was an amazing family dog that this shocked us and shook our entire world.
Well, and that's what's so funny. Like, I guess funny is like not the best word for it, but it's like when we were talking about it and, you know, this was your family dog that you've had for 10 years. I have two dogs. I have Bailey is 7 and Bear is 6. And they have been nothing but gentle and loving to my kids. I mean, Patrick has put his whole fist in Bear's mouth and he just sits there and licks it. And, you know, we think about dogs can still cause problems, but for the most part, they love. And, you know, I know, you know, it could be anything like from like a brain tumor or cancer or something that changes the aggression of a dog. But it's just so scary that, you know, a dog you've known for 10 years that is just nothing but love can have a moment of, you know.
Yeah, which put us in a really, it put us in a terrible situation in the sense of what to do, because my son didn't want to be around the dog anymore, understandably, and I didn't want to put him in that situation.
Right.
We lived in Idaho at the time where it has freezing cold winters, so the option of the dog living outside was not there. And so we were pretty much left with one option. And one of my good friends she's a vet tech and her husband is a veterinarian. So I called her and kind of told her everything that was going on. She's also been a dog trainer for like 25 years. So she's very familiar with the behavior of a dog. And she told me that something like this happened to her, like, I think it was like 10 or 15 years ago, and there was one option. And then it went to explain that she's pretty confident that the only thing that would make the dog do that is either dementia, where the dog had a moment of not knowing who Barrett was and snapped out of fear.
Right.
Or he had a brain tumor that was affecting his vision, or an ocular tumor, and Barrett was just in the blind spot and the dog attacked out of fear.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense, and that's what I like to believe for my own sanity and recovery from all of it, that my dog didn't do it out of malicious. He did it out of fear.
And that would make sense because he's been nothing but wonderful to your kids prior.
Exactly.
And I think that also, like, we forget that as dogs get older, it's just like when we get older, they forget things. And
they do.
You know, sometimes people are like, oh, well, my dog is 12 and he's just calm and he doesn't do anything. But they might become a little more aggressive because they're either going through dementia or they might have a tumor that we don't know about or things like that. And it might just trigger something that one random time that you just don't know.
Exactly. So, and for, I mean, our dog was large. He was like 90, 95 pounds. And to be 10 years old at 90 plus pounds, I mean, that's a big dog and a long life.
That is a very long life.
So we made the very tough decision to bring a vet into our home and put him down in the comfort of our home, which was a really tough day because not only it was 10 days after the attack. So we were in the midst of all the healing after the first two surgeries. And we had to go and do this and have this emotional moment. And it's just that month, the month of August, was a tough one for us. And I don't think we're completely over it or healed from it. It's resurfaces every now and then, and it sucks.
But you know what's really wonderful, and I commend you for that, you gave your dog their last moments at home with you in a comfortable and safe environment. Like, you know, there's always, I don't want to say like mess ups, because this is not a mess up. Your son was really hurt. Thankfully, he's okay. But like, you know, that dog gave you 10 years of wonderful joy and memory, and you were able to make their last moments special.
Which we did. One of my best friends back in Idaho, she took my kids for a couple hours, and my husband and I took the dog to go play one last time. We gave him a big steak dinner. We gave him a Reese's peanut butter cup because they can't normally have them. And then we just spent time with him until the vet showed up, and we just laid next to him the entire time, which was the first time
I had. So sweet. Sorry.
It's okay. It really was. And it was a nice closure to the dog after what had happened, because that was the first time that I had cuddled my dog since the accident, because I was fearful of him.
Yeah.
And so it was a good closure. It was a good moment for my husband and I, even though it was extremely emotional.
I can imagine. I just, like, my dogs are in my lap right now, and I'm just like, oh.
Hug them tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks.
So how is Barrett now when it comes to animals that he sees out in public? Obviously, we see dogs out in the park, and
you know, he loves them from a distance. He loves them on TV. He actually wants to see pictures of our dog, and so we share him pictures when he asks for it, and wants to hear stories about how they were friends, which I think is all a part of his little tiny 3-year-old brain trying to recover.
Yeah.
Trying to heal himself, which I think it's remarkable to watch. But he doesn't like dogs to get close to him, which I get, and it's probably going to take a lot of time. When we were still in Idaho, we took him to one of the local shelters where we know dogs are caged and can't get to him, but we wanted to expose him to the sound of the barking and the chaos, because I didn't want that trauma to bury itself in his little brain and not heal from it. And I think that helped. A lot of people were like, are you sure? But I think it helped, because when he hears a dog bark, he doesn't jump. He's completely fine. He looks around to see where it is, but he doesn't freak out. And then we moved. We got here to North Carolina in December. And our neighbor, we don't have fences around our yards. So our neighbor has a 5-year-old, I think it's like a Labradoodle or some sort of poodle. And she's big, but she's so soft and so sweet. And my son loves her, and she having them next door to us right now in this time has been such a blessing to his healing. I couldn't have asked for a better situation, because my son plays with her when she comes into the yard. It's been a progress, but now when she, you know, brings herself into our yard, he'll run up to her and say, "Hi, Darcy," and he loves it, and it's been so good for his healing, and I'm forever thankful that he's door to us.
That's amazing.
I think that's amazing. Yeah, it hasn't even been a year, so that's incredible.
With the divine timing of having that kind of dog next door, where she is large but she's very gentle, so it was like the perfect dog for him to have as a neighbor to help him heal.
That's so amazing.
It's pretty cool.
So what are the next steps for you guys and for him?
Nothing. We went into Charlotte and saw the pediatric cosmetic surgeon here just to have him take a look at it, make sure it was healing good. And he said everything's fine. That one little scab spot will heal over time. Nothing to worry about. And then when we choose, if we choose to have it's a balloon procedure where they insert two balloons in his scalp to stretch the part that does have hair, like the surrounding areas, to eventually pull it over and, I mean, essentially sew it into his hairline. But we just haven't decided if we're going to do it. We're in no rush. I mean, he's 3.5. He just started T-ball. He loves to ride his quad and his bike, and that all requires helmets. And we don't want to take that away from him until he's ready.
Yeah, that's completely understandable.
Do you know what's so funny? It's so TJ and Patrick both need surgery, and TJ's surgery is in his nose. Ooh. And I should be getting it done soon, but I'm actually forgoing to do it until the fall or closer to the winter because I don't want to ruin his summer.
No, and I think that's the best decision as a parent. You want him to still be kids.
Yeah, like, I mean, granted, he can get hair whenever. He can decide he wants to be bald. He can decide he wants to have long hair. He'll never know. Like, but it's so funny, too. And, like, as a mom, you want to do what's best for your kids and make sure they have a childhood. And so it's like, you know, TJ's surgery is an emergency surgery. It just needs to happen soon. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to give him a nice summer. He deserves – we've been through hell. He deserves a nice summer. Absolutely. So I love how you kind of have a very similar viewpoint. You know, you guys have had an awful year. It's been very stressful. You just want to give him a normal life and everything else can come later.
Yeah. And I want him to be comfortable with the decision. He's been put through enough that he didn't have a choice, that I want him to tell me like, yeah, I want hair there, or no, I don't care that I don't grow hair there.
Yeah.
Right. And this might just become his normal, you know, like he's so young, he might not know any different or care in 10 years from now, you know, like it might just be him. Like that's who he is. And he's happy with who he is. He might not need anything additional.
There was a kid at the park a couple weeks ago that saw it and was like, oh, I don't like to look at that. And bless the little boy's heart. He was like 5 or 6. He doesn't understand etiquette and what you're not supposed to say to somebody. Right. And his mom quickly corrected him and was like, that's not nice, sweetie. But I looked at my son and my son just like didn't care about it. So then I asked him about it on the way home. I was like, hey, I was like, did that bother you, what that little boy said? And he goes, no. He goes, that's my spot. It's okay. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm raising somebody so confident. Wow. I'm proud of that.
That is amazing. That's
incredibly mature. Like for him to even know that.
Oh my gosh. She's the sweetest.
Thankfully, he's been his same active, happy child the entire time. Like, even in the hospital in Salt Lake City, the first day or two, he was cracking jokes with the nurses. And it was, we were cracking up. And I was like, how is he so happy when he's going through this? And I don't know if it's just who he is or if he's too young to even understand the gravity of what he was going through. And he was just excited that he could have snacks and Lightning McQueen all day.
Oh, my gosh, Lightning McQueen.
But he was his happy, spirited little self the entire time. And I think that has helped my husband and I heal.
So I know a lot of times when it comes to medical trauma and anything involving the kid, your children and stuff like that, it can put like a huge strain on relationships. Again, personal experience, my son has had surgeries. We had NICU stays. We had everything. We're a mess on our side. But I felt like that made my husband's and my relationship, sometimes it's very rocky, but sometimes it's very, very strong. And the more we're into it, I feel like the stronger our relationship
Yeah.
has gone. But in the beginning, it was very rocky because this was all new territory for us. How have you and your husband been able to navigate, having such a
Yeah.
moment together?
We're a really good team and we always have been. I'm the kind of person you want by your side when shit hits the fan, excuse my language, because I don't panic. I know exactly what to do and I handle it with no stress. And I don't know where that comes from, and I didn't know it about myself until I experienced a couple incidences. And my husband panics. He doesn't know what to do. He walks in circles. He dry heaves. And I don't mean to make him sound so weak, but he is very emotional at first. And I'm very tough at first. And then as soon as we get answers, the roles flip. As soon as I got to the hospital and I knew my son was okay, I lost it. And he then steps into like, everything's fine. We're going to be good. You need to pull yourself together. So like we're opposites, which mesh together very well.
You're a great balance for each
Yeah,
other.
we really are. And it's in a couple different situations in our relationship, it's been really nice that we're that way. I think the only time we had any sort of speed bumps was the decision to put the dog down, because that was my husband's dog before anybody else's. Granted, we got him together as a puppy 10 years ago, but it was my husband was my dog's human. And they had a bond that is, you can't even explain it. And so for my husband to have to be put in that situation, it was tough for him. And I had to pull myself aside and kind of be practical and say, we can't put our son through this. Like, our job is to respect the dog, but protect our child. And I feel like putting him down at home and making the decision to not put him in any sort of rescue or shelter or just completely abandon the dog is respecting our dog, but we have to
Absolutely.
protect our child, and therefore the dog can't be here. And that was rough, and it took a little bit for my husband to accept that answer just because of the bond he had.
Right.
But it did. And once I got practical with him and he leveled with it, he got behind it. But it that was probably the only time we weren't on the same page right away.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like, well, I don't know, Christina. You'll have to tell me about for your husband, but my husband's very similar to your husband, Kelly. I'm the calm, cool, collective. I make basically almost all the medical decisions because I have so much experience. And then he's the freaking out, but shutting down, freaking out. Like he'll just stay silent and be like, okay. Well, I'm glad you got this. And then once like the doctor explains everything to him, or I have time to explain everything to him, and then I have my turn to melt down, he's like, no, it's okay. We got this. See, remember you told me this, and you told me that, and we'll do this, we'll do that. So it's funny. My husband's very similar to yours, Kelly.
See, that's funny. Like we're kind of a good balance. Like it just depends on the situation and what exactly it is, because one of us might be one extreme versus the other. Like there's no like consistency. Like for example, yesterday we had three baby birds that were flying around our living room, and I was having a full-blown panic attack. And he just grabbed some gloves and scooped them out and brought them outside. So, like it just depends on the day.
Oh my gosh, baby birds.
Yeah, well,
Really
yeah, because
sweet. I wish they were flying around my living room. Oh
right?
no.
Nope,
I
there was
would.
poop. I was having like, oh nope. I was like, please don't leave me with these birds. I'm not mentally prepared for that today.
Oh.
I would totally cuddle them.
Oh my gosh.
I would cuddle them too. We actually had a little chick, like a little duck chick, get trapped in our yard in Idaho last year, and I was like yelling at my husband. I'm like, go get it. We have to put it in the bathtub. I know how to raise it. And he was like, you're out of your mind. I'm not doing that. He needs a mom. We're gonna find him, get him back to the pond. And I'm like, nobody's fine.
The
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
Needless
yeah.
to say, we never got him, but I wanted
Aw.
him.
That's
So,
so
Kelly, do
funny.
you have any advice for families that might have gone through this, or, you know, if in the future ever anybody ever goes through this type of situation. I know it's just surreal for anybody to be in that situation, but do you have any advice on, like, how to stay calm, or how you guys, you know, worked as a family to make sure that your son felt supported, but also, you know, you were still trying to keep things normal as you could?
That's a tough one. I think at least for myself, the entire time I was just counting my blessings and being so thankful that it was just cosmetic, because it could have easily been something else. And if my husband wasn't in the backyard playing with them, this would be a different conversation. And I mean, I like to think that my husband saved our son's life, because if he wasn't there, I don't know how drastic the attack would have been and how long it would have gone on for, which, if you look at any other dog attacks in the recent history, which there have been so many that are just so public in the news, they don't end the way ours did. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful that Barrett is still exactly the little boy that he used to be. And he just has a scar. I can live with scars. I can't live without my boy.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I continue to tell myself when I have a moment of, like, damn, he has to live with his head like this the entire time. My little boy has a mark that he has to deal with, but it's just a mark. He's still him, and he still has his life, which is I'm thankful for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's how I dealt with it. I know I lean into my husband a lot when I'm having a moment that is a little emotional about it, and same for him, and we just kind of bounce off each other. And we've had some really good support from our friends and family, as well as friends and family who don't understand it and trivialize the whole thing, which has been really sad, but it is what it is. I don't expect somebody to understand if they haven't been through it.
Right.
But I'm just thankful. That's how I've gotten through it. And that would be my advice to anybody in any type of traumatic situation, is just count the blessings that are there.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
That's a great way to look at it. So I really appreciate hearing your story, because I know this is not easy to talk about.
No,
it's still so fresh.
The first time I've talked about it publicly, because I wasn't even very open with it on my personal social medias. Like, people who know us knew what had happened, but I hadn't talked about it much. So nobody's heard the full story. Nobody knew that I was sitting on the porch covered in his blood waiting for the ambulance to arrive. Nobody knew what we decided to do with the dog. It was kind of just all of a sudden the dog went away. So this is, like I said, this is the first time I've talked about it publicly. So thank you for letting me tell the story.
Thank you for sharing it. I know it's really hard to be vulnerable sometimes and to really put things out there, because there's so many people who judge. There's so many people who have comments, and
they do.
You know, at the end of the day, it's your family, your life, your decisions. And I just like to put yourself out there and to share with us and to have this conversation. It really means the world to us, because I hope other people who are listening, where if they need to have that conversation, or they need to unpack something that happened to them, that they'll, you know, get the strength to say it out loud, because it may help somebody else going through something very similar.
Yeah, I hope it does.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, Kelly. Yeah, this was absolutely beautiful. I really appreciate everything.
Thanks.
And really, I can't wait to watch Bear grow into the most amazing young man that he will be.